You're listening to Vatican Radio.
At yesterday's Angelus Prayer, Pope Francis prayed for participants in the Impact Investing Conference, which took place this week here in the Vatican. The three-day conference on harnessing the power of impact capital for the good of the poor carried the title Making the Year of Mercy a Year of Impact for the Poor. Father Seamus Finn, an oblate of Mary Immaculate, was a presenter at the conference. He told Devin Watkins about the need for a new way to help the poor in a sustainable fashion.
My role was basically to share with the participants what we've been doing with the Oblate Fund in impact investing. This is a fairly new asset class for those who are in the financial world of saying, how do we as oblates engage in this? And it's because it's not like buying government bonds, it's not like buying traditional equities, and it's not like putting money in the bank. It's investing with a specific purpose in mind that's broken out in different parts of the financial world over the last 10 or 15 years. So for a number of general treasurers of religious congregations that were in the room, and for a number of representatives of National Conference of Bishops from around the world that were there, it was simply a way for us to show them how we've done this and then possibly look at how they, in their particular congregations or dioceses, might find this helpful. The platform or the framework for this is that there's a real need for lots of church institutions to become more sustainable. In many corners of the world, and not just in the developing world, the church has always lived on donations and collections, and that's a really important part of how the church and we support the work that we do. But there's also this whole other discussion at the moment that is there a way in which the church can take the buildings that they have, the land that they own, the property that they own, and maybe use it in a way that's more involved in the community and is also generating some income to support the work of the church. So I think it's a fascinating field.
There were a lot of businessmen and women involved in this conference as well, weren't there? How exactly would you describe the goals of the conference?
There were a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of very savvy people who manage money, who run investment funds, and many of them were fairly young. So I think it was a combination. They were energetic. They were imaginative. They may have spent 6 months or 18 months in Cameroon or in Madagascar or in Bolivia and, you know, been confronted with the reality of poverty and people just not having access to good schools or housing and things like that. And, you know, they were pleased, I think, that they had the chance to go there for a while and do some things. And then they were struggling with saying, well, okay, what do I do now? Go back and get a job in New York or get a job in London? So I think they were also driven to try and figure out there's got to be some other things I can do in terms of helping the folks that I left in those countries, whether they were farmers, whether they were merchants, whether they were laborers. And so that's basically, I think, what they kind of set about to thinking about how they might do that. They've created these funds and then figured out if they were to deploy some of these funds to help, 50 small farmers buy seeds early or had a guaranteed price for the crop they were growing. They wanted to figure out how to do that. There's an amazing crop of folks like that, they're involved in education, healthcare, farming, transportation, and they're convinced that in these many different regions of the world, they can make a difference by putting together capital that they can lend or they can invest that somebody otherwise in those countries might not be able to develop the kind of things that they want to do. They were there kind of just telling their stories very briefly and very concisely with great energy and excitement. And I think that brought together with them was representatives of local dioceses that said, wow, if we had a loan of $100,000 for 3 years, we could do this, this, and this. or if we had a reliable business model about how we might do something. And I don't care what it is. I mean, these days, there's just so many things out there, whether it's in farming or you think of energy. You look at, you've got an empty field sitting out there, and all of a sudden somebody comes by and says, if I had 2,000 solar panels that I put out there, I will pay you for renting your field. I'll put the solar panels out there. I'm going to draw the energy out of those solar panels and store it in batteries. And so it's a kind of a cyclical income-generating process that otherwise that field might be sitting idle. So there was lots of creativity going on.
As ethical investor of the OIP, Oblate Investment Pool, do you have any specific projects?
Sure. We've, in the last maybe 8 years, we've connected with a number of pretty interesting projects through intermediaries because we don't have a lot of staff, so we can't do a lot of traveling or finding things out. So an example would be through 8 Miles Fund, we just put some money into a poultry farm in Uganda that is now gearing up to respond to the appetite that Ugandans have, given their disposable income, to eating more meat in their diet in terms of nourishment, and chicken is often one of those things. So we've put some money into a poultry farm there that's going to begin to produce a whole lot more poultry for consumption within Uganda. Likewise, we've put some money into a beef export project in Ethiopia that, again, was a very small project. With the injection of capital, it provides enough so that those who are doing the project can buy more cattle, have a better record of caring for the cattle that they have, better farming techniques, better safety, which without the capital, they would kind of been slowly inching along over a longer period of time. Last one is we've also got an investment in a bank. And I happen to be pretty passionate about the role of banks in the world, whether it's in Africa or in New York. From the dawn of time, human beings have been trading with one another and doing financial transactions and commerce. And we weigh things and then we pay for them. And so money is important and lending is important and insurance is important. So even for today, for the most ordinary tasks that people do, a reliable way of trusting currency and paying bills and saving and having enough money to plan for a month from now or 2 months from now, having a bank around is important. And the nature of banking is changing significantly, right? Because you don't need a big building anymore because you can do an awful lot of transactions on your phone, which is the way in developing countries, lots of that is happening. But you still need the basic system that says, you know, I have 100 kwacha or I have 100 pounds or $100 and I can use it to do business, to make a loan, to buy something that I want to use in the future. And you need a trustworthy system to say that, you know, whether it's the phone you're going to use or the $100 bill, that says, you know, you actually have that money. This small bank that we've invested in Uganda is attempting to try and respond to the way the younger generation likes to use their cell phones to pay for their coffee or to buy things in the way that previously we had no idea. So they still play a really, really important role in society, whether it's sending money back to your parents, sending money to pay your kids' school tuition or paying for whatever. Having a good banking system within an individual country and between countries is really important. So we feel like that our investment in that situation is also enhancing the quality of life for a lot of people in Uganda.
Impact investing is a very different way of giving than traditional philanthropy or charity. Is it a rather new thing, and is it very much in line with the church teaching on how to help the poor?
So I think the core of the issue has been, you know, there's always going to be a need for charity. We meet people who are hungry, we meet people who need to buy some clothes, or they need a jacket, or they need a place to stay, and that's the role of charity. And I think charity, as it's described or written about in the life of Christ and in the scripture, and that's a really important part of our tradition. I think the next question after that is, are there other vehicles out there whereby you can help somebody besides charitable donations? And I think the issue always has been that if you give somebody something without any strings attached, so they don't have to pay you back or they didn't have to work for it, there's always a suspicion that they don't feel like they earned it and they don't appreciate it, right? So they're kind of casual about the way they use it. And it doesn't ennoble them. It doesn't respond to their dignity as human beings. So I think the other side of that question is, so what if I lend you money and you have to pay me back? Does that develop an ongoing relationship? So it's not like I gave you the $100 and now go away and I'm not going to see you again. If I lend you the money, there's a bond created because you're coming back to pay me back, whether I'm charging you 1% interest or 5%. So there's a relationship established. And I think now I feel, if I'm the lender, that I have an investment in what you're going to do with it. And there's a relationship established. So you take that and you say, so now it's not $100, say it's $5,000, and you're going to pay it back over 3 or 4 years. So now I have a vested interest in what you're doing. I want your farm project to be successful. I want you to be able to buy the tools that you think would help you to be a better carpenter or a better plumber, or to buy the new implement or tool that's going to help you to make, to do your work or to continue your business. So I think that's been a key component of impact investing. So on the one hand, getting away from the charity side, the question is, are we in this together? And is there a relationship established that I'm just beyond giving you money, I'm really interested in that you will be successful and the project you're engaged in will be successful, and I'm going to feel better about it. I'm going to feel like I contributed, and you may take a photo and send it to me. You may write a note and say, this is what I did and this is how successful I was. So I think impact investing is really about two things. I think it's about the money or the credit or the loan or the investment, which is enabling somebody to do something that they couldn't do otherwise. But it's also about the relationship. It's about establishing a bond that's saying, I'm going to send you, I'll give you this money, and then I'm just going to disappear. I want to know, did it work? Was it successful? What happened? Why did it fail? Do we need to do something different? So I think that's the part that I think is exciting for folks about impact investing. There's still plenty of money out there that people can give as charity, give as donations, give as grants. And those are still needed in certain situations, but this is opening a whole other slice of capital and leverage and investment that should be a source of opportunity for people who otherwise would not have it. And the difference often is, I may have $100 that I can give away today, but I may have $400 that I can't give you, but I could lend you. So it's two very different sources of help. And I think that's what impact investing is doing. It's trying to say, we're in this together. I can't give you all my money, but I can lend it to you, or I can invest it in, and I can believe in what you're going to do with it. And I think that's very much in line with some of what we see in the scripture. We're not just about feeding people and making sure that they have shelter and clothing. We're about promoting human dignity. We're about providing opportunity. If somebody needs to go to school, and education is going to help. So it's a whole other array of things that are opening up. And can I make that possible, and can I help?
That was Father Seamus Finn of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate speaking about the Vatican Impact Investment Conference.